messages on the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, on the grace of God. How that we have redemption by the love of God, the grace of God. We're now in chapter 3, and we'll be looking at some different avenues of this grace that we've been talking about each week. I know the first message, we gave you a message entitled The Freeness of God's Grace. And I'm glad this morning that God's grace is free to us and is delivered to us by the grace of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that grace is free, and we have the liberty in the Lord. Last Sunday, we noted the fullness of God's grace and how that God has supplied every need for the child of God, and we've been taking all these things directly out of the book of Ruth, and then this morning, I want to bring you a message upon the fulfillment of God's grace. If you would, in Ruth chapter number 3, has 18 verses, and I really feel like we ought to read every one of these verses, and so we'll hurriedly read these and go back and take our text out of the last verse. It says, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, in whose maiden thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. Get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. She went down into the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all thou requirest, and all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down till the morning. She lay at his feet until the morning. She arose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she had it, when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and lay upon her, and she went into the city. And when she came unto her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Now verse number 18, we want to take the text this morning. And then said she, Set still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day. I want to think this morning upon the romance of redemption, or the redemption by love, in the fulfillment or the finish of grace. The fulfillment of God's grace. Now here we have in this story, all the way through this entire book of Ruth, we have different people that are identified. Their names are given, and each one of these names are representative or typifying something else. We've already noticed that Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our kinsman and which is our Redeemer. We noticed last week, or the week before, that Ruth is a type of the sinner. She that came from Moab, from a land that knew nothing about God, knew nothing about the grace of God, and now we find that she not is only a sinner in the field, but now in these verses we find that she is the saint of God at his feet. Then we find Naomi, her name, and we noted last week also that Naomi was a type of the Holy Spirit, and that Naomi directed and guided every step of the way in which Ruth took in her adventure here in this romance or this love story. And truly, this is a love story that is a type of the greatest love story that's ever been written in that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ loved us and not only gave Himself, He gave His life that we might have redemption through His name. So we've seen the freeness of grace, we've seen the fullness of grace, and now this morning the fulfillment of grace. We see here the lady by the name of Ruth that is a type of the redeemed bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is now going to come into relationship with her Boaz and with that one that loved her. The Bible tells us that one day we as the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will come into relationship with the Lord and we are the bride of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25, says, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word." And so we find that she is a type of the redeemed bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see grace being fulfilled. Now the word fulfilled means literally to carry something into effect or to bring to pass, to consummate and to bring it to pass just exactly as it should be. Now we notice here in verse number 18 that in our text verse it says, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Now that matter they're talking about there is that nearer kinsman, and we'll be looking at him in just a little while. "For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Now over in the New Testament we find a verse of scripture that goes along with this. In Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6, it says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now I'm glad this morning that I have salvation in my heart and in my life, and that one day that will be completed in my whole heart and my whole body. I will be given a new body as such, and we'll be in a complete relationship with the Lord, and we'll see that the grace that God has given to us will be fulfilled in Him and through us, that we have one time and one place we'll be in complete fellowship with Jesus Christ, our great Boaz. And so we're going to find this morning that these verses relate to us the story that ought to give to us the message of what we are to do as one being led. Now, first of all, in verse number 1, it says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said." Now, here again, Naomi is a type of the Holy Spirit. And we see the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. "Naomi said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" I'm glad, thank God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, one day sought rest for my soul. And I have rest today in Jesus Christ. I have liberty in Him because one day the Holy Spirit came and He touched my heart, nudged my heart, made me realize that I was a lost, undone sinner, that I had no hope without God, that I was dying and I was going to devil's hell where I deserved to go, and where I really, many times people don't realize it, but they desire to go there because it is within us that we do no good thing outside of the grace of God. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God comes and He says to us that He wants us to have rest. He seeks for us rest, and that resting place, that hiding place, is within none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you're here this morning and you're saved, it's because that one day the Holy Spirit came and He sought rest for your soul. One day you heard Him knock on your heart's door and you said, "Enter." You said, "Come in and I'll sit and we'll sup together." And Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open," Jesus said, "I will enter in." I know that that first application of that is to the church of God, but I'm glad this morning that every believer, every one of us today, that if we will let Jesus Christ enter into our heart, He will come in and He'll sup with us and He'll have fellowship with us, and we do that through the work of the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God upon the life of the believer. When we come to Christ, it was because, not that we chose Christ, it's not that we decided we needed to get saved, it was not that we had any of those ideas, but it's simply because the Holy Spirit of God nudged our heart, made us realize that without God we're dying and going to hell. And so we find Naomi says to Ruth, and Naomi remembers a type of the Holy Spirit, and she says here, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" I'm glad, thank God, the Holy Spirit sought rest for us, that it would be well in our soul and would be well in us. Now there's five things here in these next few verses that we find that Naomi told unto Ruth. We've already learned that five is the number of grace. We noticed that last week. and hear five things that Naomi, which is a representative of the Holy Spirit, typifying the Spirit of God, tells her five things that she is to do. If you would sort of watch those with me as we go down these verses, most of them right there in verse number 3. First thing that Naomi tells Ruth to do is wash thyself. Now before we can ever have a relationship with our Boaz, is that we must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We must have life evermore. And our washing, our regeneration, our salvation comes by the washing of the Word of God. The Word of God that He gives us and has freely preserved in us. And we can make ourselves pure and make ourselves clean, not by the baptismal pool, not by the good works, not by doing this or doing that, but we make ourselves pure and we wash ourselves by the Word of God that He gives unto us, that we can be a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wash thyself and clean yourself. And you'll find here that this is the inward power to keep ourselves clean that we have in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have regeneration. We have redemption. We have salvation. We have cleansing this morning because one day, thank God, the Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God, applied it to our heart, and we were made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the washing of regeneration by the Holy Ghost using the precious Word of God. And so Naomi tells Ruth, she says, first of all, you wash yourself. Now we notice another thing that she says in verse number 3. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. Anoint thee. Here we find, wear something that is attractive. Wear something that's attractive to you and will attract Boaz unto you. Draw attention. I'm glad this morning that we ought to do things that will draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in my life, everything in your life, it ought to be drawing attention not to ourselves, not to this world, but we ought to be drawing attention to Jesus Christ. Yep. We ought to tell the world that Jesus loves them. We ought to tell the world that Jesus died for them upon Calvary's tree. We ought to tell the world and draw attention to the Son of God because He's the only cure for a sin-sick world. He's the only one that will cure our ailments. He's the only one that will heal our diseases. He's the only one that can take a poor, wretched, lost individual and put his feet upon a solid rock and make him suitable and make him even desire to go to heaven. And so we find that we are told to anoint ourselves. Then we find in that next portion of Scripture, it says, put on thy raiment upon thee. Put thy raiment upon thee. Psalm number 45, verse number 13. The Bible says the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought up unto the king in raiment of needlework. I'm glad this morning, thank God, that we don't have to put on just some old garb of this world, but we have the robe of God's righteousness. We have the robe of the greatness of our God and the salvation that He's given to us. It's a needlework that far is worth it more than anything that this world could offer. The robe of God, the righteousness of God that He gives to you and I, that we have been saved. It's not by our works of righteousness. All of our righteousness is ours, filthy rags, the Bible says. But we, thank God, have the righteousness of God. We can put on the raiment of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell the world what Christ has done for us. And so we find that she tells her. Now remember, this is the words of Naomi unto Ruth. This is the words of this one that represents the Holy Spirit. And if she represents the Holy Spirit, these words are for you and I. It gives to us that we ought to do something. We have to have ourselves washed. We have to be pure. We have to be clean. We have to have the anointment of God. We have to have the robe of righteousness of God, the robe of salvation, the robe of separation, that we can serve Him. Then she tells her to go down to Him and mark where He lies in verse number 3 and verse number 4. We find that the bride, if you would, over in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 1 and verse number 7, it says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companion? We need to desire to know where God is. The reason a lot of people today do not serve the Lord, the reason they don't have joy and fellowship, they don't really care where God is. They don't want to know where God is. But we find that she is to mark where He is. And folks, we ought to mark where Jesus Christ is and get ourselves there where God can use us and where God can bless us and separate ourselves to the point that this world would identify us as a child of God. That the world would know that we're saved, that we have the grace of God that's been applied to our heart, and we are a child of God by the grace of God. We ought to mark where He is and get there.
Amen.
We ought to find out where the Lord is and where God wants us and just get there and quit worrying about what everybody thinks and what everybody says and what everybody does and just find the will of God and then get in the will of God, serve God, and let God bless. Mark the place where Jesus is. And this is exactly what Naomi told Ruth to do. Go and find where He is. Get to Him. Humble thyself. Fifth thing she says, humble thyself. Look to Him. Lie down at His feet. I'll tell you what, one of the most person, when we come to worshiping the Lord, you'll find that when people worship Jesus Christ, they didn't stand up before Him. They didn't look Him face to face. But the Bible says they fell at His feet. You find in the book of Revelation when John sees the Lord, it says He falls at His feet. And when we come to the place that we will worship God, when we come to the place where we will serve God, and when we get to the place that we're willing to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, we'll fall at His feet, because there is the place of service that we have to Him. That there it breaks our will, it breaks our pride, it breaks us, and we'll say there's no good thing within us that God would desire us. But oh, thank God, by the grace of the Lord this morning, we can serve Him, we can worship Him, and we can get right at His feet. And I believe we ought to be like that lady there in the New Testament. She cried and she wept, and the Bible says she washed His feet with her hair, showing her humility, showing that there's no pride in her life, showing that there's nothing great in her life, and she bowed herself before the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find here the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I ask you this morning, how many times has the Holy Spirit directed us to do something and then we would not do it? The Holy Spirit of God's told us to do something and we reject it. We turn away from it. We go the other direction. We'll not serve the Lord. We'll not do what God would have us to do. So we find the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now in verse number 5, we see Ruth as this lady, her obedience, the lady's obedience. And by the way, lest you get the wrong idea about this story, this is a story and it's not nothing vulgar. There's nothing that happened there. Ruth was not a harlot. She was one that served and wanted Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer and wanted him to redeem her, and she comes to him in the affairs of that life and the world in which they live under that society, and there was no immorality here in these verses. Now the Bible says here this lady was obedient unto what was told her. And in verse number 5, and she said, talking about Ruth, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. Now that ought to be our desire. That ought to be our words. As a child of God, when the Spirit of God speaks to us, and when we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we ought to be just like this lady. We ought to say, Lord, all that You tell me to do, I will do that. When Jesus came to this world, He said, I do always those things that My Father have Me do. He's always obedient to the will of God. And that is where He wants us to be. He wants us to live in the life of obedience. She did all that she was told to do. The Bible says in verse number 7 that she came softly. She came in a humble way. She came in a right way. She came softly unto Him. And then she came humbly. In Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 3, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people today, they want to get saved, but they want to get saved their way. A lot of folks want to get right, but they want to get right their way. A lot of folks want to have joy and peace and happiness, but they don't want it God's way. They want it their way. And they cannot ever come to that full assurance and that full peace, because they will not give up and say, Lord, I'll just do what You tell me to do. There's a lot of Christians this morning that have no peace in their heart, because they get to the point they know the will of God, but they'll not do the will of God. They know what they ought to do, but they're fearful of that. They know what is God's will in their life. They know what God wants them to do. And it may not be anything now. It may not be nothing else except go to your next door neighbor and say something about the Lord. That may be the will of God for you. And when we draw back and when we hold back on that, then we are no longer obedient unto the Lord. But Ruth, she said there in verse number 5, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Who did she say that to? She said that to Naomi. She said that to Naomi, that is representative of the Holy Spirit.
Here, Ruth is that one that was a sinner. Now she's a saint. As she talks to Naomi, and we ought to talk to the Holy Spirit just the same way and say, Blessed Holy Spirit, whatever you've told me to do, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be obedient, just like Ruth was. But our faults are many times we do not serve the Lord. We do not have that desire. We do not follow the plan of God. We do not follow the pattern that God lays out for us. And I'm glad this morning that we can have obedient hearts. God tells us, and God will never tell us to do something that we ought not to do. This book right here, if you'll read it, it'll never lead you wrong. It'll never lead you in the wrong direction. It'll never tell you anything wrong. And the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you in opposition to this book. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to do this. I know the Bible says that not right, but I'm going to do it anyway because the Lord told me, the Spirit of God directed me to it. That's foolishness. That's farce. That's fickleness because this book here is true and God will not go against His Word. And the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you in a path that's not right and never take you down a road that would lead to a wrong place. And so we find that we ought to be like Ruth, and we ought to be an obedient person just like she was. She was a lady that was obedient under the command of the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now let's look at verse number 8. There we have a continuing unfolding of this story. And it came to pass at midnight. Now here we find the late meeting at midnight. There's five things that happened at this meeting. Again, the number 5 representing and showing to you the grace of God. You cannot read the book of Ruth and without finding on every page of it God's grace to mankind. Now we find here there's 5 things that happened at this meeting. In verse number 9, he says, "Who art thou?" She comes to him. There at the midnight hour, he is awakened. It says in verse number 9, "Who art thou?" And she answered. She identifies herself to him. I wonder this morning if the Lord come, if you came near the Lord, would he have to say, "Who are you?" I wonder about that. So there, the first thing is that she is asked, "Who art thou?" What is your answer? What would be my answer? What is your answer this morning when God comes and says, "Who art thou?" Now that word "who" doesn't necessarily mean that we have to identify us by name, but who are we? Identify ourselves by what we are. As a child of God, as a Christian. She identifies herself, number 2, with him, and she says, "Spread thy skirt over thy handmaid." Now that "spread thy skirt" just means take your garment and cover me up. And she said, "You do that." She identifies herself with him. She said, "What you have, I want to have." That reminds me of what she said there in chapter number 1. As she told Naomi, she said, "I'll go where you go. If you leave, I'll leave. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die." And she's saying now the same thing to Boaz. And she says, "I want to be identified with you." I'm glad this morning that I can be called a Christian. Now the word "Christian" was given first in Antioch as a slang or as a word that showed derision or defilement. But I'm glad this morning that I can be identified with my Boaz. I'm glad I can be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. And we have to have that garment that He has put upon us, that we can have that identification. Now we find that He blesses her in verse number 10. And He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requestest. For all the city, my people, doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Here we find that Ruth had a testimony. We find that she had a blessing from Boaz. And that Boaz, that blessing that came from him, one was in deed and the other was in word. He said, "I'm going to do to you and do for you all that you ask." But he said, "All the city knows that you're a virtuous woman." One of the greatest things that can be said about the child of God is that we are virtuous, that we live accordingly to the Word of God, that we live correctly, that we live clean, and we are a virtuous person, that we don't go out and play around the world and harlotry in the world, that we are virtuous in the work of God and in the life of Jesus Christ. As a child of God, we serve Him and we are living correctly for the Lord. The greatest thing that could have been said about Ruth was that she was a virtuous woman. The greatest thing that could be said about you and I is that we are a child of God that lives according to the Word of God. Now the world will laugh at it. They'll make fun of it. They'll look at you the way you dress. They'll look at you the way you talk. They'll look at you the way you act. And they'll say, boy, there's just something strange about that person. But that's one of the greatest things that can be said about you as a child of God, that you're different from the world, that you're not like all the hell dives and the holes of this world, that you're a child of God serving the Lord, loving Jesus Christ, wanting to let others know about Christ. Virtuous people, that's what God desires. That's what God wants. And He blesses her with that. Then the fourth thing that happens here at this midnight meeting was that she lay at his feet till morning. Oh, I read that until morning. Thank God there's a morning coming. And we're to stay faithful and true unto the Lord Jesus Christ until the morning comes. Our relationship, the morning is coming. The morning time is before us. In Isaiah chapter number 21, verse number 11, 12, if you just turn there and read that, you'd find the Word of God says, watchman, what of the night? And the very next thing that watchman says is, the morning cometh. I'm glad we, as the child of God, we're to be watching, we're to be waiting, we're to be looking forward to the Son of God, because we know in the morning, thank God, in the morning things are going to be different. Yeah. Things are going to be better. Things are going to be right in the morning time. The Bible says in Psalm number 30, verse number 5, for his anger endureth for a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy comes for the child of God in the morning. We're in the darkness of the midnight hour right now. Our times are bad and troublesome ways are before. But thank God there is a morning yet in the future for you and I. There's a morning time. Watchman, watchman, what of the night? Oh yes, there's a night, but thank God then the morning. There's peace. In the morning, there's safety. In the morning, there's joy that comes in the morning. So we find here that that relationship is fulfilled. And he says there, lay until the morning time. I tell you what, we're to be at that Father's throne. We're to be at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet until the morning. We're to be there until He comes again. We're to be found faithful at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, working for Him, serving Him, worshiping Him until the morning comes. May come before this day is over. More may come. There's where grace will be finished. There's where grace will be completed in the morning time. It's not completed now, but thank God one day it shall be. And then the fifth thing that happened at this meeting at the midnight hour was that He blessed her and she went away not empty-handed. You'll find there that He said, take your veil, Ruth, and hold it out. And He put 6 measures of barley in there. He did that for her. He did that for Naomi. And when you get where God can bless you, where you get where God wants you, I guarantee the Lord will provide. Yep. God gives everything that is needed. God provides to His people. He'll not let us go hungry. He'll not let us bake bread. He'll not do that, because He'll put everything else on half rations for the child of God that's in the will of God. Now, if we're not in the will of God, then we may have to do some things on our own. If we're not serving the Lord, not honoring God, then we may have to have some things. We may have to work up some things. We may have to do some things. But when we're in the will of God, serving the Lord, God will provide for His own. And the Bible says she went away not empty. And I'm glad there's never been a time when you go to your Boaz, and when you go right, you'll not go away empty. You'll have fullness of bread. You'll have fullness of life. Now we find here, at this late midnight hour, this transaction was made. And he said, oh, there's a nearer kinsman than I. And so he brings out this law of redemption. The fourth thing that we want to notice this morning. The law of redemption. Now, I think we noticed last week, if I was to go back, I believe we noticed last week, or maybe the week before, that for a person to be a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, they had, first of all, have the right to redeem. That simply meant they had to have that relationship. They had to be in that family. And we know that Boaz was in Naomi's family. He was a near kinsman unto her. But not only that, but not only did he have to have the right to redeem, had to have the power, had to be able to redeem. That means you had to have the financial wealth and had to have the ability to redeem that person. And so we find Boaz had that. And then also had to have willingness, a willing heart. And Boaz had that. But he tells her, he said, there's one other thing. There's a nearer kinsman than I. There's the only thing that's a problem. There's the only thing that stands between Boaz and Ruth. And you know who that nearer kinsman was? It's just some fleshly individual. Now listen to me and listen well. The only thing that stands between us and our Boaz is that nearer kinsman that's of this flesh. That's the only thing that'll stand between us and God. And this is that old body of clay that we have. It's this old flesh that wants to be gratified. It's this old flesh that wants to do what it desires. And it has lust and it has desires. And that's the only thing that stands between me and Christ, because that keeps me beat down if I permit it. And there we find that the sin that so easily besets us will come upon us in the flesh. Now we find this nearer kinsman in verse number 12. He says, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a nearer kinsman than I." There's one closer to you, Ruth, than I am, and we've got to deal with him first. Now I guarantee you, before you ever go to heaven, before you'll ever be right for heaven, you're going to have to deal with this other kinsman first.
Amen.
You're going to have to deal with this flesh first. You're going to have to deal with this one that's closer to you than anybody itself, and that's you. That nearer kinsman, that flesh that cannot and does not provide for us. Look, if you would, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. In 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15, verse number 46. It says, "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such is they also that are heavenly. And we have borne image of the earthly, and we have also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot enter or inherit the..." The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of thy, all of those things we have to deal with for us to have a right relationship with our Boaz. He said, "Yes, Ruth, I am a near kinsman, but there's one nearer than I am. This one, he could have come and he could have redeemed her." But I want you to notice what a thrilling story this is. In verse chapter number 4, it says, "Then went Boaz up to the gate." He said, "We're going to take care of this matter. We're going to take care of it today." You know, there comes a time that you're going to have to take care of that matter. There's a day comes in your life that you're going to have to say, "Yes, I want the Lord, or I want this nearer kinsman." There's going to come a day that you're going to give this nearer kinsman ability. Are you going to give it time, or are you going to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And so there came a day that Boaz went to the gate. He took 10 men with him of the city in verse number 2 and 3. Now in verse number 4, he says, "I thought, go advertise thee, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee and after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." So here comes this nearer kinsman. He said, "I'll redeem the land of Elimelech. I'll redeem the land of Naomi. I'll take care of that." And I wonder how Boaz might have felt. He said, "Oh, here," he said, "I want her, and I want to be the redeemer. But here this man comes along and says he'll do it." Now notice what he says. "Then said Boaz," verse number 5, what day thou buyest the field of the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess." Oh, he said, the land's not enough. You've got to redeem the land, and you've got to redeem the lady. Now notice here what happens. "The wife of the dead to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." Verse 6. "And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it." I'm here to tell you this morning, this whole world can give you a lot of things, but it can't redeem you.
Yeah.
It can give you a lot of joy. It can give you a lot of laughter. It can give you a lot of so-called false peace, but it cannot redeem you. But here this nearer kinsman said, "Oh, I'd be glad to take the land. I'd be glad to do that." And I'm glad this morning that my Savior, the Son of God, Boaz, he not only redeemed the land of the world, but thank God he redeemed you and I. He's made it possible that we could have life. Not only did he take care of the land, but he takes care of you and I. Not only the world, but he takes care of us. We that are the people of this age. Jesus here, the Bible says, or this kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." One of the things that had to be for a kinsman redeemer was that he had to have the right, and he had to have the ability, and he had to have the willingness. And this man had neither one other than just the right. He had the right to redeem it, but he wasn't able and he wasn't willing. But oh, thank God, Boaz. Boaz had the right, because when he relinquished that, Boaz was the next in line. And when he had that, he was willing and he was able. Thank God. I'm glad this morning, one day I came to Jesus Christ. He had the right to redeem him, but he said, "Son, there's no one nearer than I. What are you going to do? Your old desires." What are you going to do with your flesh? You one day came to Jesus Christ. You came to the great Boaz of this world, and you needed redemption. You had to have it. And he says, I'm of a right to do that, because you know why he's a right? He was made in the image of man. He came down from heaven, took upon him the form of a man. So therefore, he became a near kinsman to you and I. But there's one nearer than he, and that's right here. He said, yes, I have the right to redeem you. And I'm able to redeem you, and I desire to redeem you. But there's one that stands between you and I, and that's your desires. That's what you want. I'm glad salvation is of a free gift of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, I'm able, I'm willing. But then he says, what about you? What about this nearer kinsman? Are you willing to give that? Boaz said, yes, I'll do it. And then you go on, you'll find how that is. We'll see that next week. But here we find the fulfillment of God's grace. Ruth was satisfied in everything that Boaz did. She's come to him there at that midnight hour, and he says, yes, I'll do it. But we've got to take care of a matter first. We've got one that stands between you and I. I wonder this morning, if you're here lost, I wonder if you'd let this one that stands between you and Christ, I wonder if you would crucify the flesh. I wonder if you'd just say, Lord, I don't want that anymore. I want the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if this nearer kinsman had have come, and if he'd been able to redeem her, you'd never heard another word about Ruth. You'd never heard anything, because she'd have gone the other direction. Because he wasn't able, and she didn't desire that, and Boaz didn't desire that. You'll find in this rest of this chapter, she's in the very lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She became part of the line of the Messiah. And so it's all because he was willing, he was able, and they dealt with that nearer kinsman. You and I this morning that are saved, if we don't deal with this old flesh, we'll never amount to anything for God. If we don't deal with our desires, if we don't deal with what our real longings are, our lust, if we don't deal with that, we'll never have a right relationship with the Son of God. Oh yes, we've been redeemed. We're going to heaven. What kind of rewards will we get when we get there? So we find here the law of redemption. Jesus not only died for the world of creation, but he died for the woman. He died for you and I. We that are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, purchased us. We that are the redeemed, we that are the saved, we that are the family of God, he's redeemed us. He is willing, he had a right, and he was able. If you're here this morning, you're lost. I'm glad I can point you not to a fleshly Boaz like this one is in the book of Ruth, but I can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I can point you to the greater Boaz that's willing to save you. He's willing to save to the uttermost. He's willing to take you and make you what you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find here, grace fulfilled. Yes, grace is free. Yes, grace is free to everyone that will come. And then thank God it can be fulfilled in your life. Next Sunday we'll see the finish of grace. And thank God he does finish. He doesn't leave us here empty-handed. He doesn't leave us here alone. But he finishes that which he's begun in us. That work of redemption, of salvation. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again? Christian, are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or has all the cares of this world come in and choked out that which the Lord desires you to have? Sin comes and destroys and defiles and tears down. Sin comes in and defeats us. Are we willing to say yes unto the Lord? I'll do what you tell me to do. Holy Spirit, you've directed me in certain ways, and I will do all that thou tellest me to do. Let's stand this morning.